What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Rehearsal Report. Today, we are joined by my friend and frequent collaborator, Lou Barron. Lou is a junior at Ithaca College, where she majors in culture and communications, but she is truly one of the best dramaturgs I've ever worked with. And I invited her today because she has her own wonderful podcast that she uses to express her love of theater. And she's had a kind of an untraditional background in getting into dramaturgy. And I'm always interested to hear more about that. So welcome to the podcast, Lou.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun and so kind of you to say that I'm a good dramaturg.
Well, you are. You're amazing.
Oh, thanks.
So we're going to start with a little icebreaker because of course we are. So Lou, what was the last thing you ate today?
Oh, I had a gluten-free bagel, egg, ham, and cheese from Ithaca Bakery.
Ooh, fantastic choice.
Yes.
If you're ever in Ithaca, go to Ithaca Bakery. They are wonderful people with wonderful food.
Good stuff.
What is your favorite color?
Oh, like a dark red.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And finally, I'd like you to tell me a little story about one of the closest objects to you.
Oh, okay. I have this metal straw from Maryland Public Television. I did an internship with them after my senior year of high school, and they gave me a little goodie bag with some stuff. And this metal straw is something that I actually use every single day from that goodie bag. So
that's lovely.
It's nice. Makes me feel better about my environmental impact, which is good.
It's been funny asking that question to different people because a lot of people, the closest thing to them is their reusable water bottle or a drinking glass of some sort. And I like hearing everybody's stories.
Yeah. I have my water bottle right here too.
Nice. So to begin, we're going to start with what we call your tragic backstory, which is the way I like to imagine people getting into theater. So where did your theatrical journey begin?
To be honest, I don't even remember my theatrical story beginning because it's just been a part of my life as long as I can remember. There are pictures of me as Max in Where the Wild Things Are in my kindergarten in like the little red jumpsuit. And my mom likes to tell a story about how we went to a production of Cinderella and all of the other kids were like bored and walking around and crying. And I was just like sitting there just totally rapt and like engaged in it. So I've always loved it. So that's really cool. But I started doing theater as an actor when I was around 9. I started just in like children's community theater and then ended up going to an arts high school for acting. So I was a very serious actor in high school. It was like my entire life and thought I was going to do that in college. I'm sure we'll get into all of this, but it has definitely, theater has always been a passion of mine. And when I was starting out, it was definitely acting and musical theater.
Yeah. So what was the process like of deciding that you wanted to go to arts high school? I know a few people who've had that experience, but I'm not sure people know too much about it.
Yeah, it was interesting. I went to a private school from K through eighth grade, and it's a K to 12 school. So my choices were essentially my private school that I had been going to my entire life or other arts high schools. There were two that I could have gone to and I auditioned for both. I don't know. It's hard to think back to how I was like making decisions as a 14-year-old, but I think it was a combination of two things. I'd been around the same people for 10 years from being 4 to 14. And I think part of me definitely wanted a change of scene, but also I was and am to a certain extent like super passionate about acting and theater. And the prospect of doing that every single day was super, super exciting to me. And that's what I did. But yeah, the audition process was kind of crazy too. You know, you're in middle school, like thinking back on it, and I had to prepare 2 monologues. I had to get a resume together. I had to participate in like group movement kind of activities, which is something that seems very familiar to me now. But as an eighth grader, I was not familiar to any of that stuff.
Yeah.
To be judged the whole time. It was stressful. It was not, mm-hmm. you know, a, I mean, nothing compared to college auditions, but it was, it, for, at the time, it was a very, very big deal to audition, yeah. get in. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to me because, in my high school, I mean, I went to a public school my whole life, but you kind of had to, like you said, in eighth grade, we kind of had to pick the track that we were going to go on for the rest of high school. Like yeah. for me, it was taking, I took Regents Algebra in eighth grade because that was going to determine if I could take advanced in other classes for the whole rest of my life. So it's like you're 13 yeah. and you're making these decisions that are going to impact you when you're 18, you know, it's really wild to think about looking back.
Yeah, totally. Like had I stayed at my private school for high school, I think I would probably be then studying acting in college mm-hmm. and I would just be somewhere totally and completely different. I mean, I don't mm-hmm. really know how it would have panned out the other way, but I'm happy with eighth grade me's choices to be where I am now.
Yeah. So let's talk about that process a little bit, applying to college. So you chose a different track from acting. How did that yeah. come about? Was there a moment? Was it a process?
It was a process. Nearing the end of my junior year is when you really start. I mean, I had been thinking about college auditions and the college process really my entire time in high school, just because that's like the culture mm-hmm. at an art school. And you're always talking to the seniors and hearing about what they're doing and what their process was like. But towards the end of my junior year, I started thinking and kind of questioning my assumption that I was going to go to a BFA musical theater program or an acting program. Because I was starting to feel a little bit burnt out by just acting. Yeah. And it was scaring me because I was thinking, if I'm burnt out now when I'm 17, yeah. how am I going to do that for the rest yeah. of my life? And uh-huh. be okay with it. And also knowing that I'm really young. And even though it feels like I've kind of been on this track, there are so many other things that I still have time to figure out that I love and am passionate about that yeah. I've never had a chance to try because I've been so focused on this one thing. So that's when I started thinking about those sort of things, but I did go through with multiple BFA auditions. Mm-hmm. I did pre-screens, which was really a whole process. I had multiple people helping me with my pre-screens, from my teachers in my school to my voice teacher, and the choreographer of my school's productions helped me with like the dance thing. So I submitted all of those. I ended up auditioning 3 places, I think. And one of them was Ithaca. Ithaca was my first audition.
Wow.
In December. And I remember really loving Ithaca and thinking, man, like I could really see myself here, but thinking still mostly at that point, well, I hope I get into this program, mm-hmm. Which I did not, which is totally fine. Many people do not get yes. into this program.
Yeah.
but yeah, I did Ithaca, Carnegie Mellon, and Baldwin Wallace. Mm-hmm. So, but even as I was doing it, I was thinking, I'm not going to get in and I'm good with that. Like I think I would rather not know what I'm going to do in college and kind of figure it out as I go. And Ithaca was kind of the perfect place for that because we have the exploratory program, which I love with my whole heart. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if I answered your question.
No, but... yeah, you definitely did.
Okay.
I so admire that our school has this program, like you said. We call it the exploratory program rather than something like undecided or what have you, because it really is a chance to figure out what you want to do. And I've always maintained that it is freaking ridiculous that you have to pick what you want to, what you think you want to do for the rest of your life when you're 17 or 18 years old.
Right.
Because there's so much life to live, and understanding that has been a process for me. And I know for a lot of artists too, like,
oh, yeah.
like you said, like it feels like you get not stuck, but pigeonholed into this one thing and you're expected to make your whole life out of it. But that's not what life is like. You're always figuring out what you want to do with your life.
Yeah. And that kind of one track mentality was totally me from like 13 to 18. And mm-hmm. I took a lot of pride in that, really.
Yeah.
That I was passionate about something and I knew what I wanted to do and I was going to do it. I was going to go to my BFA program and move to New York and mm-hmm. get an agent. And like, all, I had my life trajectory planned out essentially. And I thought that was something good that I should take pride in. And it's been a total process to undo that in my brain. And even though I think I've come a long way in that, I still catch myself when I find something new that I like, for example, dramaturgy, to think, ah, yes, and now I found it. And I can go back to that one track mentality of like only doing this thing and being passionate about it and building my life around it, which, it's a whole process.
Yeah, we talk a lot of in this show about the importance of finding hobbies, especially when you're in an arts field, like trying to find something that is not tied to your work or your grades or what you do to make money, just something that's for you, something that makes you happy. And a lot of times that is acting for people, and that's okay. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, acting is so near and dear to my heart, and I think I'll come back to it at some point in my life, be it through community theater or even on a in a professional capacity, maybe. I don't know where my life is going to end up, but I'm grateful for being here and not studying theater, because it's opened me up to so many other things that I love.
So let's talk dramaturgy. When did this come into the picture for you?
Yeah, so at the end of my freshman year, I was planning on taking a class called, I think, Communication Studies Research or something. I forget what the actual class is called, but basically in the Culture and Communication major, which is my major, there is a research methods component. And I assumed I would take comm studies research, but then I found out that it wasn't being offered, which I assumed would be kind of like a bad thing, I guess. I don't know. I was like, oh no, like there's this class I'm supposed to take and it's not being offered anymore. But then on the list of potential replacements for it was dramaturgy. And I thought like, what, like I've heard of dramaturgy, like vaguely, I know it's theater related. Let me just Google dramaturgy, like see if it's something that might be interesting. And I Googled it. And I think the first thing that comes up, at least for me, that came up when I Googled dramaturgy was the Yale School of Drama dramaturgy program. And they have a number of like videos on their website. And one of them is kind of explaining what dramaturgy is. And I was watching it and I was reading this webpage and just thinking, I think, oh my, like this is all of the things. This is every single thing that I like. It's reading, it's writing, it's critical thinking, it's theater, it's like structure and like analysis and planning. It's like
and
everything.
History
that
and
I, literally, yeah, literally.
Critical
everything
race theory,
that I love.
American studies, it's everything.
And like Spanish, like like translation, like there's a, you know, adaptation and translation is a part of dramaturgy too. And I'm a Spanish minor. So I was just thinking, I think this is the thing. I think I found the thing that combines everything that I like. And I was super excited to take the class. And this was before I'd even taken the class. I was already thinking like, I think I found this thing that I really, really would love and be good at. And I was right. I love that class. I love Walter.
Walter Chong's best professor ever. Look him up. He's brilliant.
He's incredible. And then I found the New Voices Festival, which just took it to a whole other level. And now I'm going to be working the second stage in the fall, thanks to Rachel, literally. So I'm just super excited about it. I'm so glad that I happened upon it in this way.
Lou and I work together on the Ithaca College New Voices Festival, which is a literary festival, which is actually how we both got to meet Gina Femia, who's a dear friend of the podcast, of course.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Gina. Hope you're listening. So, it's so funny, like, hearing all of these stories of how just the stars align for certain things, how you can randomly, you know, sign up for a class and it ends up changing your life, or you apply to something on a whim and it ends up like completely changing the course. It's like,
yeah,
like as much as we all try to plan our lives and plan our careers in theater, happenstance is such a huge part of it.
Yeah, 100%. Like a year ago at this point, the Google search had already happened, but I hadn't done anything yet really in dramaturgy. And now it's just totally shaping so many of the things that I do and the things that I want to do, which is so exciting.
Yeah. I'd like to ask, I like to ask dramaturgs this, is how do you define dramaturgy? Because I've yet to find a definition that fits into one sentence. It always takes me like a paragraph to explain it. So I'd like to know how you define it.
Yeah. So actually from the dramaturgy class, my favorite definition that I heard was that dramaturgy is the design of emotional experience.
Ooh.
It's in like the big textbook.
The Routledge Companion. Routledge Companion to Dramaturgy, if you want to look it up.
Yeah, by I think the guy who said it is like a Russian video game designer or something. Someone who has never really had any interactions with theatrical dramaturgy. But in more concrete terms, it's so many things, but there's being an advocate for plays and for stories. So working with playwrights to help bring the best version of their work to life and helping them break it down and figure out kind of bit by bit what works and what doesn't structurally and emotionally. There's also production dramaturgy, which has a lot to do with, you know, research and providing context and, you know, connecting the creative team to a play's up to a play's context, whatever that may be. There's also dramaturgs who work with adaptation between mediums of stories and translating between different languages. So it does a lot is encompassed in dramaturgy.
Ugh, I love it so much. I love talking with dramaturgs because it reminds me just like damn, I love this job.
Yeah. It's been really great so far what I have gotten to experience of it. So
yeah. So looking back on your education a bit, is there anything that you, like, if you had infinite money, infinite resources, that you would change about our current system that we find ourselves in?
Yeah. I mean, I've been reading a lot about this recently. I think I would have institutions prioritize people in terms of paying people a living wage and just like prioritizing artists in the process of making their art. Like, I wish there was more like institutional support, both from like the government and from, you know, individual kind of institutions around the country to really pull people up and uplift work that's being done kind of on the ground, like in basements, just like around the country.
Yeah.
And also, I think it would be great if theater paid more attention to local context too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like having theater be relevant to the very highly specific communities that it exists within, instead of just kind of carting national productions around from theater to theater.
Is there anything that you would tell your younger self, like looking back on your college application process? Like, what would you tell your younger self?
This is kind of a cliche, I guess, but just not to take rejection personally. And it's that thing that everyone says that's just like, trust the process, like you'll end up where you're supposed to end up, which is like the last thing anyone applying to anything ever wants to hear. But it's ended up being the truth. And but I'm honestly not even sure if I would tell myself anything, because I think if I told myself anything, I would try, like, just knowing me, to like outwit my future self
and like mess with the timeline,
like change the path somehow, and like
butterfly effecty.
Yeah, like I don't want to mess anything up in the timelines. So I would probably just stay quiet and say, hey, there. It'll be okay.
Oh my God, I love that. See, yeah. I'm working on grad school applications right now, and having to go through that process all over again. Like, reminding myself, like, it's going to be okay. Like, you're going to end up where you're supposed to. And it is a little cliche, but maybe it's cliche because it's true, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I'm totally going to just like watch you apply to grad school and be like, how is it? What's going on? Tell me everything. I mean, I don't know if I'm doing that or not, but I'm so curious what that whole thing is like,
It's a lot right now, I'll be honest, but we're getting
through. You got
it.
This.
Thank you.
It'll all turn out okay in the end.
So last question before we get to the fun part. What would you tell any aspiring dramaturgs?
First of all, congratulations, because you know to aspire to be a dramaturg. That's the first step.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And second, I think just take any kind of opportunities that present themselves to you, while prioritizing your own sanity and mental health. But just try and be like a yes person. Like, if someone is telling you, hey, come and try this dramaturgical thing, and you think, oh, I'm not qualified for that, or oh, I don't know enough, just trust yourself. You do know enough. Go for it. I mean, I've struggled to even call myself a dramaturg because I haven't really done that much. Like, there's not much that I can point to and say, like, this is the dramaturgy things that I've done. Mm-hmm. And as someone who would have that kind of imposter syndrome, I just have to keep reminding myself, like, no, this is a state of mind. Like, it's a practice where you make things, but it's also the way that you enter a space and look at the world, and that's the most important part. It's the first step, you know, and then you can make things. The making things will come. So just do the things and trust yourself.
Oh, that's so lovely. That's so beautiful. You're so well spoken. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
All right. It's time for the lightning round. So I'm going to ask you some rapid fire theater adjacent questions.
Okay, let's go.
All right. Favorite show you've ever been in?
Probably Memphis, my senior year of high school.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Favorite show you've ever seen?
Falsettos on Broadway.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm jealous.
So good. It's just like mind-boggling.
Weirdest thing that's ever happened to you in a rehearsal space?
Oh gosh. That's a like happened to me
or witnessed?
Oh man, I'm totally drawing a blank. This is not so rapid fire anymore.
Any like on-stage mishaps?
I have a good onstage mishap. I was in Les Mis, and in like the ensemble, and during like the waltz wedding scene, my partner stepped on my dress and tore a huge hole like in my the stomach area of my dress. Luckily it was as we were like waltzing off the stage, but it was both unfortunate and very, very funny.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Nice. And of course I have to ask you, have you ever been involved in a production of the musical Annie?
Yes, I have.
And has it left you with any sort of lasting trauma?
Yes, it has. I mean, this is not that deep, but I was in a camp production of the musical Annie.
Strike one.
And yes, I was young. I was, I think, this was like around the time when I started taking theater more seriously. Mm-hmm. And there were CITs who were rising seniors in high school. So to me, as like a 9 or 10 year old, this person was an adult, like a fully mm-hmm. formed adult person.
Yeah.
And I totally idolized her. Like mm-hmm. I was just obsessed with her, as young kids are obsessed with older kids. And she promised me and a group of other young campers that she would come back the next summer as a counselor. And she did not. She abandoned us. So, I mean, now, like, being older than that girl was at the time, and someone who, and as someone who did not come back for my CIT summer, mm-hmm. I totally understand that there are so many things, like, happening at that point that can prevent you from just shutting everything out and going to camp for 8 weeks. But I was really upset about that. I don't know if it really qualifies as trauma per se, but I was deeply upset.
I just think there's something about Annie the musical that, like, it affects you in ways that no one can really understand.
Yeah. I don't know. The production overall was a really wonderful time. but yeah, as I love camp theater, shout out to camp theater. I did a lot of camp theater, and it's some of the best memories that I have. So,
aw, that's great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Lou. That was so much fun. Where can we find more about you? Like, where are you hanging out these days?
Oh, I've been hanging out more and more on Twitter. I have a new Twitter account that does not have very many tweets yet, but that is Lou_got_a_tweet. Lou got a tweet. I wanted to do Lou got Twitter, but that was taken. My Instagram likewise is lou.got.insta. And also I have a podcast, so you should definitely listen to it. It's called Your Wednesday Matinee. If you search WICB Presents Your Wednesday Matinee, it will come up on any of your podcast streaming apps. We talk a lot of musical theater analysis. We just did a series that I am super, super proud of, where we interviewed writers and producers of new musical theater by listening to, like, new concept albums that came out in quarantine and then talking to them about it. That made my dramaturgy, like, new play development brain super, super happy.
Yeah.
So check it out. It's a fun time. I also have LinkedIn if you're into that.
Yeah, she's so good, you guys. It's such a fun podcast. I love it so much.
Oh,
and as for us, of course, you can always find us at The Rehearsal Report Pod on Instagram. You can email us at therehearsalreport@gmail.com if you have anyone that you want to hear from, or if you want to be on the podcast and are making cool things. Thank you so much for watching or listening, I guess.
Yeah. I mean,
this
watching, I don't think there's I don't think there's a video component to this particular podcast.
There's not at this point, but I'd like to have one. If anyone can help me with that, let me know. Okay.
Yeah,
this outro has gone off. This outro has gone off the rails, but I'm gonna keep it. You know what? This is the raw, unfiltered content.
Raw, uncut. Yes.
All right. But for real, guys, never forget, whoever you are, wherever you are, theater is not an impossible career, and you are not alone in these crazy dreams. I promise. We'll see you next week.